Oso.
More about gel coat.
When the fourth round will...
Don't you call in the... More importantly, he knew what he was talking about.
Greetings and salutations. You're listening to PC Tunney, and this is Daily Dozen. At PC Daily Dozen on Twitter and at thechairshot.com.
Good Monday morning, everybody, and welcome to Daily Dozen Divisional Playoff Wrap-Up Edition. Welcome to your work week. My name is PC Tunney. You can follow me on Twitter at PC Daily Dozen. You can also check the show out every day at noon on 12OunceSportsRadio.com. That's 12OZSportsRadio.com. And, of course, TheChairShot.com. On TheChairShot.com, check out Raw Reaction tonight. That will be after Monday Night Raw. Let's get right into this busy, busy sports weekend, folks. Because let me tell you, if you are...
not a sports fan, huh?
Then you got a problem, because today and every single day, we are talking...
sports, 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 sports.
Thank you very much, Homer. I appreciate your help. Let's get right into it. NHL scoreboard, four games yesterday... Sunday, January 14th. Today, January 15th. Happy Monday once again. Yesterday, hockey, Detroit 4, Chicago nothing. Chicago getting blanked at home. Calgary 4, Carolina 1. Pittsburgh would host the Rangers and win 5-2. And Vancouver, in overtime, would go into Minnesota and be victorious 3-2. How about some basketball action starting out in the college ranks over the weekend? Among top 25 teams playing against non-ranked teams, they were all victorious. But there were three top 25 matchups, including number 10 Xavier, crushing Creighton 92-70. Creighton number 25, probably not for long. 18 Miami traveling to 19 Clemson, and Clemson at home would be victorious 72-63. And the spotlight game of the weekend would see West Virginia, number 2, travel to number 8 Texas Tech, who's had a couple of good wins, a couple of really good matchups this year, played some really good teams already. Texas Tech would be victorious behind 20 points from Keenan Evans and 5 rebounds. Randone Francis would give them 17 points off the bench. Excuse me, folks. Javon Carter, 28 points for West Virginia in the losing effort on the road. I look for West Virginia and Texas Tech to be two teams that are winning games in March in the tournament. How about pro basketball? Yesterday, four games, just like hockey. The Bucks would travel to Miami and lose 97-79. The Pelicans, overtime winners in New York against the Knicks, 123-118. Indiana, another victory, this time at Phoenix, 120-97. And Minnesota continues their winning ways, victorious 120-103 over Portland. Butler, Teague, and Karl-Anthony Towns would all score at least 20 points for the Timberwolves. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now to talk about the NFL playoffs and what a weekend it was indeed. Boy, I got some games right. I got some games wrong. There were some amazing games, especially Sunday was just an excellent day of football. Let's start off on Saturday. Philadelphia Eagles would defeat the Atlanta Falcons 15-10 in a game that was really all about the defense. Jake Elliott, Philadelphia kicker, three big field goals in this game. Folks, you know where he's from? He's from LaGrange, Illinois. That's right. Cheers to Jake Elliott and his three field goals. 15-10 winners were Philadelphia. Over, it's an Illinois town. No, Jake Elliott's from there. He kicked three field goals. See? LaGrange. There you go, folks. Jake Elliott, my MVP in that game, mainly because I wanted to play that song for you. Saturday night, Tom Brady, another playoff victory at home, another solid performance for in my opinion, the greatest quarterback of all time. 337 yards passing, 3 touchdowns. Deion Lewis would have a hell of a game, 62 yards on the ground, and 9 catches for 79 yards. Danny Amendola, how about 11 catches, 112 yards there. Gronk effective down the field, 6 for 81 and a touchdown. Mariota would throw 2 touchdowns. They'd have that opening touchdown to get up 7-0, but after that, within 4 minutes in the second quarter, the Patriots were already up 14-7. 2 touchdowns, 4 minutes. This game was never any closer. 35-7, they would be up after relinquishing a late garbage touchdown to Tennessee. Not bad, though, Tennessee. They're moving up the ladder, you know. You got to start somewhere. They get in the playoffs. They win a game. They go and play a very good team and a very hard place to win. So, Patriots back in that AFC Championship once again. Let's move it on over to Sunday, the way more exciting day of the two in the playoffs. The Jacksonville Jaguars defeating the Pittsburgh Steelers 45-42. If you had under 86.5 in this game, if you bet the under 86.5 points, you would lose. Who thought there would be 87 points in this game? And who thought the Jaguars would be up 21-0 and 28-7? Obviously, the early deficit was too much for the Steelers to overcome. They did come back. It ended up being a 3-point game. Big Ben would throw 5 touchdowns at 469 yards, but the Jacksonville Jaguars would just come out and be dominant in this game. 109 yards, 3 touchdowns for Fournette. Bortles didn't make any fatal errors. And the fact that Jacksonville's defense can get to your quarterback and the fact that they played a very good first half of football, that was enough for Jacksonville to be victorious, and they're heading to New England. It'll be the Jaguars and the Patriots in the AFC Championship. Now the game of games over the weekend, in any sport most likely, was the Saints at the Vikings, and what an ending. What a fourth quarter. I mean, the Vikings would come out up 17-0 in this game, looking like they were just going to go ahead and roll on to victory. But for some reason, the Saints would figure out that Vikings offense and shut them down in the second half early. The Saints would come out, touchdown, Breeze to Thomas. You know, another touchdown, Breeze to Thomas. And eventually, it's 17-14 in the fourth quarter. Saints would hold the Vikings' Kai Forbath field goal, 49-yarder, after missing a 49-yarder. Then Breeze comes back down with Kamara to touchdown, 21-20. But Kai Forbath, after missing, would come back, stripe a 53-yard field goal, leaving Breeze enough time to come down and get his own field goal. And then, folks, final play of the game. Wow, if you haven't seen it, you got to go check it out. Just an error in judgment in the secondary from the Saints. The tackle should have been made. He should have waited for him to catch the ball. Obviously, he's coming up trying to make a play. You can't fault the guy for that, but you have to be aware in these situations that the clock is going to be done. The guy catching the ball is not the worst thing that can happen. The worst thing that can happen did happen, and Stephon Diggs would go on to score the touchdown. And after a brief delay to get the Saints back out on the field, in which I believe the punter was rushing the quarterback on that final, you know, unimportant 2-point conversion, the game would be over. What a win for the Vikings. What a loss for the Saints. I know fans actually on both sides. Some were hooting and hollering and just overjoyed. And the Saints fans just cannot even begin to think about how miserable they will be after being down, coming back, and then losing it late on a play that they should have been able to shut down. The Vikings really should not have won that game on that last play, but they did. And congratulations to them. So now that sets us up next week, AFC Championships, NFC Championship. Let me tell you what's happening next week, Sunday.
Thanks to television, I can't remember what happened 8 minutes ago. No, really, I can't. It's a serious problem.
Jacksonville will be going to New England this game, obviously, on CBS. It'll be a 3 o'clock start time on the East Coast. New England, favored by 9.5, over under 46.5 points. Both teams have been able to put points on the board. It's the up-and-comers against the standard bearers, right? It's Blake Bortles against Tom Brady. If that's all you're going on, we might have some trouble there for the Jacksonville Jaguars. But that defense, can they move Brady off the spot, right? Can New England slow down Jacksonville's running attack? All questions we're going to find out next Sunday afternoon. And then the NFC Championship, Minnesota travels to Philadelphia. Philly, given points again, given that 3.5, over under 38. Boy, I tell you what, if Minnesota's defense can play half as good as they did in the first half against New Orleans, they should have no problem shutting down Nick Foles in Philadelphia. So my prediction all along here in the playoffs has been New England and Minnesota. It looks like we're rolling towards that. We'll get to more of a take on both these championship games as we go throughout the week. Folks, I want to thank you for joining me once again today. And now, a message from the Beer City Bruiser.
You're listening to thechairshot.com. This is the Beer City Bruiser. I want you to crack one wide open. Go visit my Twitter handle at @BCBWinchester. On Facebook under the Beer City Bruiser. Check out my Instagram, Beer City Bruiser. Go to ProWrestlingTees.com/BeerCityBruiser and pick up a t-shirt. Check out ROHWrestling.com. Find out where the best wrestling on the planet is going to come by you. And always check us out on any Sinclair Network television station. Again, this is the Beer City Bruiser, and you're listening to TheChairShot.com.
As we close out the show today, I want to wish everybody a happy Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And we do have some afternoon games from the NBA. So on NBA television, you're going to get a doubleheader, Charlotte at Detroit. And you're also going to get San Antonio at Atlanta. That's how it's on TV this afternoon. That's how we're going out today. Cypress Hill, though, they ain't going out like that. For Daily Dozen, my name is PC Tunney. Follow me on Twitter at PC Daily Dozen. And of course, 12OnSportsRadio.com and TheChairShot.com. Have a great week, everybody. See ya!